Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We've been talking about the activities of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We left off talking about the best gifts. Are there any that we can say are the best gifts? And of course, you want to be looking at it from whatever your particular circumstances are, because the best gift for you is the one God wants you to be learning about. You may even be in a situation where circumstances, people around you would benefit from a particular gift being in operation, being available. But you need to find out from God what He wants you to be learning, what activity He wants you to be involved in. Now, there's a couple ways that might be happening. He may be giving you a particular desire for a particular gift. And He also might have you in that circumstance, that situation where there is a need, precisely so you will engage in that activity. The point is that you don't rely on these external circumstances. You ask the Lord. So in doing that, the best gift for you is the gift that He wants you to be working on. From the opposite extent, we want to remember that every Christian has all the gifts working in their lives spiritually at any given time. So it's not that the Spirit is not available to move in a certain way, to be active in a certain way. There's other circumstances within individuals that are keeping the Spirit from moving through the gifts or otherwise in a particular situation. So we want to just review that you want to look at every situation as a training opportunity. You'll become more and more comfortable through dependence on God, through hearing His voice, to be available, to be used by Him in whatever capacity He chooses. So, say the Lord has been flowing through you in a gift of healing. But also may give you the discernment that what is needed for a particular person is a word of wisdom, a word of understanding to enlighten a situation. So you ask the Lord, what do you have for this person? So though you may think, okay, the Lord is now teaching me about healing, he also may be wanting to use you in other ways. One of our challenges, if you are committing yourself to know the Lord and to be available, to be trained, because there are, unfortunately, so few who are so available, odds are very good that the Lord will use you in a much more diverse manner than we may expect. In other words, you may not have the foggiest idea what you're doing in a particular situation because you have not had a chance to be trained or recognize a need. It's just the spirit of life flowing from you, from the spirit through you to a need or to a situation. You may not even know about it. But because he has a conduit, a pathway into a situation through you, you just let him flow. And it's up to him how it's expressed. You may not have a chance to say, Lord, what do you have for this person? Because he's already on to three people down when you're just still catching up with, okay, this is what he's doing. And it may only be way after the fact that you start looking back and go, what just happened? And so we want to recognize that our perception of what our training will be may not be what he has for us. We can trust him to love people. We can trust him to love us. We don't know what is going on in people's hearts, but God does. I know of one person prophesying and ministering, and the Lord kept on telling him to go up to a certain person and slap him in the face. And he resisted, Lord, that can't be you. That's something I can't do. And while he was teaching, while he was doing his plan, you know, he was speaking on his message that God had given him. And the Lord kept on interrupting him and saying, go up to that person right there and slap him. And so he couldn't keep going with his teaching until he went up to this person and he just tapped him on the cheek. He didn't slap him real hard. And the guy just looked at him, startled, and his jaw dropped. And he said, well, we're going to have to talk about this later. And then he went about doing his teaching. Well, he came up to him later, and the man was just in tears. And he said, I didn't tell anybody, but I told God that if there was a God, that you would come up and slap me in the face. And I was getting ready to leave. If you hadn't have done that when you did, I would have left, knowing that there was no God. So we don't know what's going on in the hearts of people. But God does. And your spirit does. and knowing that God loves, period. God loves. That's his nature. But we, you and I, have to experience that love for ourselves before we can share it. So if you don't have that confidence in his love, ask for it. Lord, I need to know, do you love me? I want to know for sure. And I will accept your making it real to me in whatever way you choose. We have no way of knowing how he's going to do that or when. But when you do that, when you ask him to make himself real, this is his desire for you, that you would know how much he loves you. And all the changes he's making in your life is so that he can love you more, that he can fill you and give himself to you without measure. So even as we're saying, Lord, what do you have for this person? We also ask, Lord, what do you have for me? So we let him do what he wants in the lives of others, and we let him do what he wants in our lives. So when we see the simplicity of what he really wants to do, one of the challenges we have is looking at how authority is expressed in our churches, in our lives, in religion in general. What keeps us from allowing God to be God? And especially when it comes to moving in the gifts, there seems to be such a concern about being out of control or moving out of order. So much so that very often, unless, you know, Jesus himself walking in the door would not be allowed to minister because he wasn't registered with that particular church, or he hadn't gotten it approved ahead of time, because everything must be done in order. Well, hardly look at what that's gotten us. We have to strain and struggle so hard just to try to feel his presence, let alone be able to experience it, live and move and have our being in Christ, in spirit, in God. Whatever we've been doing, it hasn't been working. So as we begin to see who is the authority, whose authority do we follow? Do we recognize? God doesn't appreciate it when others usurp his authority. And God doesn't like it when we allow that to happen. God doesn't like it when others sit on his throne. And God doesn't like it that we allow them to. So there's going to be times when you're allowing God's free reign through the gifts or any other way is going to be challenged by religious authority, by custom, by a myriad of ways, because authority is often an excuse for control. So we look at by whose authority our gifts exercised. In a situation, a particular circumstance, if the best gift is the one that is most needed, can we extend that valuation to the person being used in that gift? Does the person who is operating in the best and the most gift have the most authority? Do they go hand in hand? We know that most structural religious organizations and churches have been built to accommodate certain beliefs. To belong to them, you have to believe certain things. Now, if the Lord wanted us to use the scriptures, for example, as a pattern to set up a church structure, those instructions, that pattern would be so clear that there would not be over 2,000 official denominations in the United States alone. 2,000. Each one of them claims to be the most strictly scripturally based. This is, on its face, when you really look at it, how can 2,000 organizations all be based on the same book and all claim to have the interpretation? If the Lord wanted us to use the scriptures to base our relationship with one another on, wouldn't he have made it clear? So the gifts, instead, are operated out of functional authority rather than on religious authority or fleshly authority. There's a time coming when most of the moving of this of the Spirit of God in and through his people will occur outside organized religion of any kind. Simply because those in legal authority, according to a denomination, a name on the door, they have usurped the Spirit's authority over what happens inside in order to maintain control and are often, therefore, unwilling to let the Spirit have his way because it could be out of control. Often leadership thinks, okay, I'm the leader, I will determine what is in order, what is out of order. It's my job to keep things under control, and I get to decide that. Well, again, who's sitting on the throne? Don't let anybody sit on your throne, and don't you sit in it. That's for God. Now, this is not to say that there is no order in the church. There very definitely is. And it's very simple. Jesus is in charge. God has an order. It is the Spirit. Our problem is that we so rarely recognize his presence, his flow, his direction, his order. to the degree that if one person does and starts to move in that order, it will be out of sync with the religious order. And of course, they're the one who is going to be criticized and outcast. If Jesus himself in the flesh approached a church in physical form, how many churches would turn him away? From the front door, from the front row, from the pulpit. Either because he hadn't cleared his message with the leadership beforehand, or because he wasn't ordained through that branch of organization, or even wasn't a member of that church. But when someone is dying of cancer or is wounded in heart or head or in the depths of despair or just wants an answer, wants to know if God loves them, they want to be set free by God. They don't care whether the one setting them free is under an approved, ordained authority. They just want help. They're drowning. And when you throw them a rope, when you pull them out of the water, they don't ask for your credentials first. They recognize help when it's extended to them. God doesn't care what your ordination is, what your philosophy is, what your training is, if you've graduated from seminary. God doesn't care. He knows exactly the training you've received from him. He doesn't care if you're approved by anybody. And we shouldn't either. This is not how we should be judging one another, how far up the religious ladder we've climbed. Instead, we should be recognizing one another after the Spirit. Does being around someone draw life? Is there a welling up of graciousness, gratitude, the presence of God? Or is there a separateness? We're better. Well, if you don't belong to us, either we're not interested in talking to you anymore, we're not going to waste our time with you, or, well, what can we do to bring you in to the real fold? We have a long ways to go in being able to be available to God and to learning how to share it. And it's the next thing God does is not likely to happen through organized religions. And that includes any home church or non-denominational church as well. Just because you meet in a home, just because you're non-denominational, doesn't mean you're not as indoctrinated into control and religious authority as any other large denomination. It's who are you depending on? Whose authority are you acting upon? Is it your own, or is it the authority by virtue of the Spirit flowing through you? His authority. Now, likewise, just because someone is growing in the operation of a gift doesn't mean they are more dependent than someone else and should be listened to more closely. Our standard is dependence, not power. The power follows. It doesn't lead. But if what is being preached and taught and exemplified is truth, change will be taking place. Healing, encouragement, motivation, clarity. His working of the gifts is testimony to those who have been in his presence. But that doesn't mean necessarily that what is being taught across the board doesn't mean that person is closer to God. We still have that responsibility to hear, to have the ears that hear, that have to have the eyes that see. We don't want to be blind and blindly support those, but recognize, okay, this is why God is moving in this situation. Accept it for what it is, and do not follow a person. We learn, okay, what did they do that we can also do? It's wonderful that they can operate in these gifts, but what can I learn from this? Because of God's compassion, the Lord may continue to use someone's gifts, even though that person has again asserted his independence and is living out of his flesh, pushing God off his throne. Authority is non-transferable, and God does not share it with ourself or with others. And this is not, we're not doing our leaders any service by not judging what they're teaching. So often, God gives a revelation or a gift of power or a stirring up to an individual, and that individual shares it with others. And rather than just sticking to the thing that God has done or shown, they branch out and they try to make a ministry of it. And because they have shown God's love and power and presence in one area, others think everything they say must be equally from God, that they must be closer to God. They must have more of his heart, his mind. And it doesn't do us any, doesn't do that person any good. They start to believe that, yes, they have received that revelation, and everybody starts thinking, oh, what's this? Everything he says is great. And they begin to believe it too. That what everything they say or everything they teach must be from God, rather than just that one thing that he revealed. Now, we pursue. We want to know him more. Not more in volume, but more of us. Spirit, soul, and body. And as that happens, that authority within us flows from our spirit, through our soul, through our body to others. So don't be surprised if, as you gain more and more of a relationship with God, that that authority is recognized more and more, both to your benefit and to your chagrin. People loved Jesus, and then they crucified him. And we are not greater than our master. So we will pick it up there next week. You can always get in touch with me at diane@becanprepare.org. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great night.